Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Katie,
yeah.
Yesterday, big day for you.
Big day for me.
Big day.
Oh, because I had an Antico pizza for the first time?
Antico pizza for the first time.
First time.
Yeah.
How long have you lived in Atlanta?
It was a milestone.
It was a milestone. I've been here since 2011, so it's not good.
A little late to the game.
A little bit.
But then also ATDC. Visit.
Right. That was the real big part.
That was the first time you had been there?
Yeah. That was really cool.
Cool. And we measured. We're going to be ready to broadcast shortly.
We are. We are officially announced on our social media yesterday that we're going to be working with them.
And nobody told us to take it down. So that was a good
sign. Right.
Good. That's positive.
Very positive.
And then also?
I don't know. Antico pizza?
No. The big news? Assistant coach?
Yes. I'm the assistant coach of the track and field team at Oglethorpe University as of yesterday.
Nice. That's a big deal. Look at that. Just doing everything.
Running off all that pizza.
Exactly. Yes. That's really why.
Well, it was a big day for you, but today's a big day for us.
Yes.
Because in the studio today, we are honored with the presence of the leader of Dagger Agency, Mike Papowski. Welcome, Mike.
Thanks, Lee. I thought you were about to say the leader of the president of the United States the way you ramped up. But
that's how I see you, because your agency is doing such amazing things.
Thank you.
That's the high regard we hold you in.
I appreciate it. We've had a nice run as of late, for sure.
So tell us about Dagger. What makes you different, and how are you serving folks?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that makes us very different is we actually came to be. I mean, we were founded 5 years ago and really got going in earnest about 3.5 years ago. So our space, as you all know, has changed so dramatically. The marketing and media landscape has gone through such a enormous shift in the last 10 years, where I think that's a big advantage for us coming in about 3 years ago after the proliferation of mobile, after the proliferation of social media. And I think we just look at things very, very differently. So I think there's a lot of agencies that have had to play catch up and have had to go through a lot of change, and they were built for a different time, whether they were a print shop or a TV shop. I think we come in with a very, very fresh view on content. So much of content consumption is happening in the palms of people's hands now versus, you know, sitting up and watching primetime TV. And so that's the most macro level kind of viewpoint of the shift. And because of that, brands need to be producing a ton of content and at the speed at which consumers are demanding it. And that's what we've really solved for, is this idea that, brands need to be always on and always publishing valuable, relevant content.
Right. So, I'm trying to have a catch on. Ubiquity is the new marketing.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. That's not our catchphrase, but
I know.
But I like, yeah. I like
the thought.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, I agree.
Because you have to be everywhere.
That's true.
And but you have to do it in an elegant manner. I don't think the public is tolerating interruptions and old school kind of methods that used to be effective when there were three channels or a handful of choices in the media.
Exactly. And I think that's driven by choice, right? I mean, you can now block ads out, right? I mean, there's
right.
ad
and
blockers.
They do.
And there's a free, there's premium subscriptions, whether it's Pandora right. or Spotify
or Hulu.
Or Hulu, right. Exactly, where you just pay to block it out. So, so as brands and marketers have to get creative, they've got to be valuable. And so much of that's just in the way they communicate. And so I think, that's probably the crux of where we help brands. It manifests itself into, I think, social media. I think because we're a young agency, I think because we, I just think we think differently. We're playing in new spaces. It tends to be the channels that are evolving pretty quickly. You know, like the Instagrams of this world are just changing so quickly now.
And for you, when you're working with a client, is there a typical point of entry, or are they just coming to you with a like, hey, beef up my Instagram and then it evolves from there? Or are they saying we want a full service agency, so do all of our work?
Yeah, we're typically playing with bigger brands now, national brands, the F1000, some big nonprofits. So IHG's a client of ours, Aflac's a client of ours, NCR is, American Cancer Society, Sweetwater Brewing locally. Oftentimes we find ourselves playing in this content agency of record or social media agency of record. So, you know, a lot of the big brands still play with, you know, an agency ecosystem where they've got brand marketers, brand advertising, they've got, you know, PR, they've got their big media buying agencies. And I think we come in really with this ongoing content, whether they term it content agency, social media agency of record, that's typically where we find ourselves engaging with brands.
And when you're working with them, are you replacing another agency they had, or was this something they were doing in-house and then now they're
both
going to an agency?
Both. We've seen it both ways. Sometimes it feels like sometimes it's a new, you know, I think it's a new path for them and they realize the need, and whether CMO or, you know, CEO has said, look, we've really got to double down on content marketing in this particular sector of the business. And it ends up being new. But, you know, just recently we pitched a couple months ago, won a piece of business with a big brand, and it was competitive and there was an incumbent agency. And so I think it's gone both ways.
So now what's the pain they're having where Dagger is the right fit?
I think the pain is probably brand needs to be producing a lot of content at scale, and I don't know how to do it in a way that's not cost prohibitive. In other words, I think so many brands and a lot of agencies are trained to make a video, right, and spend six figures in some cases to produce a 30-second. And, you know,
and for that six figures, you can create a whole lot of content.
Exactly. You know, exactly. So that's a pain point, and I think that's one.
But isn't that a mental shift have to make?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's a mindset shift on their side, and sometimes it's a media mix shift, right? I mean, you still probably want to invest on that level on a TV spot, but so much of consumer attention is shifting into modern mediums. And so I think it's how do they communicate in those at scale is what I see as their biggest challenge.
So it's changing their kind of viewing themselves more as the media or a publisher rather
than
their
that you,
brand.
Yeah, I mean that's actually a really funny segue into how we talk about into how we talk about sort of our viewpoint of how brands should comport themselves, which is like a media company. And if you look at some of the really progressive media companies, I always use Red Bull as an example, where they actually have an in-house media company, and they treat a lot of their marketing much
right,
like
GoPro
exactly. GoPro's another one I use. That's yeah. So they're just constantly putting out that type of content, much akin to a media company.
And then, but for some of them, they're more user generated content, or they're allowing their brand to be kind of shared with the user.
Yeah, and I think that can be a slippery slope. You know, I think GoPro does a phenomenal job just inherently in their product is a beautiful camera that can take beautiful shots. So the UGC tends to be great. And so I think so much of what a GoPro does is that. You know, I think
how would it work for Deloitte?
Oof, I don't think it works. You know, I don't think a UGC campaign is what we would go into for a Deloitte. You know, there's a brand in town.
B2C lends itself, I think, more to
definitely that. B2C lends itself more. And, you know, but again, I think you've got to be careful. I think if you just do a call for submissions for content, you know, it's got to be produced, right? I mean, content has to tell a story. I think it's got to feel semi-produced, and it doesn't need in, and that's the balance, right? It's not in front of your dirty kitchen sink, but it's also not the $150,000.
Right. Well, it has to
spot.
Appear authentic to the consumer.
Agreed.
And then so whether it's highly produced or not highly produced, but professionally produced,
right?
You know, those are kind of shades of gray.
Well, and you know, production levels overall are just increasing from
right. Your phone now, you can make a movie, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I know people can't see what we're doing, but we're holding up the iPhone X. Yeah, exactly.
Now, for you and growing the agency, how has it been? Has it been a challenge from a talent standpoint?
I think that's it's a challenge and it's the opportunity. I mean, I think for me, you know, I've always heard and felt that, you know, business was talent was the kind of the crux of building a great business. And I know it more now than ever. You know, that's really what this is, especially our business, because we're service-based. You know, as I tell the team, we're not selling shoes or water bottles or, you know, insert product. We're the sum of our people. So it becomes that much more critical. But yeah, so I think that's one reason I'm very bullish on Atlanta. A lot of talent moving here. I think the creative industry starting to you know, improve here for sure. What's happening with the film industry? There's a lot of talent
film,
moving
music,
here.
Exactly. Gaming. There's a lot of action.
Exactly. So, yeah, talent is it's an opportunity and a challenge. I call it a challenge framed in an opportunity.
Now, when you started, there was just a handful of you, right?
Yeah. So I wasn't number one. I was sort of part of a group of about four, and the agency had originally started about 5 years ago, and then I came in 3.5 years ago. So the agency had started for about a year. They were in Atlanta Tech Village, about 3-4 people, very, very boutique at the time, under a different name. And so I knew some of the people involved, and then I got involved, and that was about 3.5 years ago. We were 4 people. I say 4 people in a broom closet is kind of how I talk about
and
it.
And you came from the traditional agency environment?
I'd been at bigger agencies. When I hear traditional agency, I sort of think TV, print. I'd been at big agencies that were more digital or social focused. Mm-hmm. And then sort of a bigger brand shop as well. So most recently, before Dagger, I was in New York with Shiat Day, which is a really big creative agency.
Old school, right.
Exactly, old school. They did the 1984 commercial, probably one of the most famous 30-second spots ever. All those.
The Apple.
Yep, right. Apple, exactly. And then they did all that Absolute print campaign, which I think is one of the best print campaigns ever. So a lot of iconic work. And then previous to that, I was actually at an agency, actually the biggest size-wise agency here in Atlanta called Moxie. Mm-hmm. And I was at the agency that was bought by Publicis and merged with Moxie before that, which was called Engage. So I've been my history with Atlanta dates back to around 2011. Did about a few years here, New York, and then back for Dagger.
So having had some scar tissue in these older established agencies, and now you're kind of putting a fresh spin on agency.
Exactly.
Right. So you know what worked and didn't work in the large, and then you're able to take the good and kind of.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think that I definitely had a vision of what I felt were problems. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I try to take what I thought was really good. And we're in a little bit of a different time, too. So I think thinking differently constantly is pretty important as well.
So now your role in the agency, are you primarily the creative person? Or are you the biz dev person? What's your role?
My role, I'd say, focuses on any given day between 3 macro functions of the agency. Growth, which includes business development. So I think we've just got to be growing as a company. What I call ORGX, which is organizational excellence. So that's our culture, you know, alignment, things moving through efficiency of work. And then the third thing is the work itself. So, you know, our actual content. I'm not a creative director by trade. I mean, being in the business, you get to,
opinions.
I have opinions. Absolutely. Absolutely. Whether they're right or wrong.
They're your opinions.
Either, exactly. The consumer's opinion is usually one that matters.
That's where the checks come from.
Exactly. Ultimately, exactly. Right.
So now, when you're going out there, how did you make the leap from being kind of small to getting this national exposure and getting involved with national brands?
It was a lot of work over the last 3.5 years. I mean, I think the founding group, myself, our original founder, woman who heads our operations, we were always accustomed to working with bigger brands. It actually was unnatural to work with some local brands. I think we just natively understood those better. So we would
understood the politics and the decision
the
making.
Politics, decision making, and just the marketing, you know, the marketing of them. And so I think when we started to build relationships and get in meetings with some bigger brands, I think they knew we got it, but I think they also saw, wow, here's this you know, lean
and fresh, kind of looking
fresh,
hungry,
yeah, fresh
right?
viewpoint, exactly. So I think probably the combination of the two.
So what was the first big brand that gave you a shot?
So when I joined, Carla, our founder, and Missy and the team were already working with Carter's, mm-hmm. and to me that was a big reason for me joining, just because I felt like there was some credibility to build off right. of there. So Carter's was really our first. We were under the name Sandbox, and then while we're still working with Carter's, we shifted to Dagger. But that was the biggie. And then after that, I think the dominoes started to fall.
So once you were doing good work and people yeah. saw what you were doing.
Yeah, you sort of have the case study and right. and you're able to kind of build from there. But I felt like that to me was the breakthrough on a national level that we were able to take that.
It was easier to have those conversations.
Easier, yeah, when you have a proof point versus a belief or right. versus look at what I've done in my past. So, yeah.
So now is there any work that you've done that you've really made an impact that you're proud of?
We're doing work now with the American Cancer Society, so it's hard to have a bigger impact than that. I mean, I think it's touched all of our lives. I mean, even some of the team that's working on the account has been touched directly by it, and not only through our pitch work, but some of the work that I'm seeing the team building. I think it's really, really strong, not only emotionally, but really good storytelling and modernized communication. So, as of late, I would say, and that's all coming. So. Follow American Cancer Society on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, et cetera. And then you'll start to see some of that work. But that's probably the one right now where we hang our hat in terms of impact. In terms of Sweetwater is a really fun brand to be working on. I know the team really enjoys that. That's creative. And so we helped them launch one of their new beers recently, G13.
So take me through the launch of a brand like that. How do you kind of craft the story that you're going to be telling around
hire really good creatives and strategic talent to craft the story.
Did they have an idea? Did they know what this was supposed to be? And then you're just helping them just tighten it? Or are you kind of going from a blank sheet of paper and saying, what can this be? What do we want to say?
I think it's case by case. In this particular case, they had the brand. I think they understood sort of the general directionally where they wanted to take it, and we put together, I'd say, a campaign to launch it. And so we get briefed in on what's the big idea, and then we build a platform big idea, and then our communications fall from that.
And then, so the brand existed, I guess they had an idea of the brand, and then you developed the look and feel, or they had already done that?
They'd done a little bit of the look and feel. I think we blew that out in terms of what that could look and feel like in voice and tone expression in social.
That's not always the same, right? Client's mind, they might think it's something, but when you know how to leverage social, then you can say, you know what, it would be a better fit if we do it.
Maybe that's right.
This shape might be better the long run than that shape.
That's right. Yeah. One thing I say a lot is, you know, they'll give us directionally where they want to go, and we contemporize or dimensionalize it, in very interesting and modern ways, whether it's, I keep using the Instagram story just as the reference button. But
there's certain parameters there that work better than others.
For sure. For sure.
And so you're ninjas and all that, and you can take their idea and kind of morph it to fit and kind of get the most out of the platforms that you put them on.
Exactly. And, and I think I'm not the ninja there. I've got a team, team of ninjas. I think when we've got, I'd say 45 folks in-house, I'd say almost 20 are creative. And that's everyone from motion graphics, 3D artists, copywriters, editors. Those are the ninjas that can take a brand and kind of push it.
Are you playing at all in augmented reality or virtual reality or any of those spaces?
We are not a ton right now. I mean, I think for me, it's about maintaining focus. I think there's, within the content realm, there's a lot of work to be had, just peripheral disciplines to that strategy, analytics, media. Mm-hmm. I'm very careful not to take us to a place of full service. And I know that's an innovative space. I think voice is very innovative too. I think the way I look at it is I'd like for it to get some critical mass in the market for some adoption by brands, and then we start to go there. So I look at us as kind of fast follower versus pioneering in those. But I think just in general, I think the more we widen our focus, the less strong we'll be. And that's just kind of just my general viewpoint, is that I think the full service agency is a little bit
antiquated. You're focusing in visual mediums more than anything else?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about text? Are you doing blogging and writing?
Sure. And I think more for B2B clients. I mean, we just did an ebook for a big client of ours, where they just have a ton of dense information that they're trying to get to mm-hmm. CXO stakeholders who are decision makers.
Right.
So in those cases, it'll be text. But I'd say the crux of, within the content, content means so many different things to so many different people. I look at touch point between brand and consumer, and that's increasingly becoming more and more video in more and more modernized mediums. So that's where we're focused for sure.
Now, do you get involved heavily in the analytics side? Like, are you giving them, does the client
Absolutely.
Demand a lot of kind of proof this is working, that they are getting ROI, that there is kind of movement
yes.
in the needle?
Yeah, 100%. So we've got an analytics department that's very focused on that. And some of that works up front too, right? So it's not just analytics. I think it's insights as well. So understanding consumer behavior and insights to make sure that the messaging's right. And that the mediums are right as well.
So what are some ways that you measure that?
It depends on the client. So, going back to, and I don't know how much I can get into each client's business, so I won't talk
right, just
specifically.
Talk in general terms.
Yeah, so in general, one that we're a social media agency record for, we actually, it's interesting because I think there's, in social particularly, there's a little bit of a tension between revenue generating direct response and storytelling brand building, right? I mean, I think the idea
right.
is...
I mean, that's been since the beginning
sure.
of time.
For sure.
That
yeah.
battle.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's magnified in social, but that's probably a different topic. So, with one of our clients, we're working on kind of this blended score that takes into account their brand metrics and the revenue metrics and kind of weighting them appropriately. And so I think that's really important just to have.
So how do you build metrics around brand? Like, what's a brand metric?
You invite our lead analyst on the show and then
they know all those answers.
All the questions. Yeah.
Those are too hard for you. Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay in your lane.
Exactly.
Stay in your lane.
Exactly.
And now, but that is the level of service you're giving your clients. There is somebody
Absolutely.
On the team that can answer that question. There are people on the team that can make all the pretty pictures and move the product, right?
That's right.
Now, for you, you primarily are B2C, or do you have
I'd say it's pretty split.
The same strategies for B2C and B2B, or you have different tools for different groups?
I think they're different, but I do think more and more. I mean, at the end of the day, it's P2P, right? I mean, we're talking to people. And I think, for so long, I think B2B comms have been devoid of emotion. I think that isn't necessarily right. So I think storytelling and all of the same things that we do for consumers with insights, that still applies for a business audience mm-hmm. as well, for sure.
So now, what do you need more of as you grow?
Starting to build out our media department. I don't think we'll ever be a big media buying agency, but I think the way I look at our business is it's not just making content. It's, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it, right? So it's how does that content get in front of the eyeballs of target consumers?
Mm-hmm.
And some of that's organic, but more and more now there's pay to play situations and influencer marketing, and there's a kind of a whole ecosystem. So we're beefing up what I would say our connection strategy, connections of kind of media and influencer marketing to our content. That's a big growth area for us. Always looking for highly talented creatives across the board, from, ACD, associate creative directors, to designers, to copywriters. So that's a big one as well. But sometimes it's staffing against the growth, right? I think it's easy to say this is where we want to go, but we may start a client engagement in January that may require a different set of skills in which we'll hire those. I mean, obviously within the same disciplines, but yeah.
So if somebody wanted to learn more, have more substantive conversation, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
We are on LinkedIn where we post our jobs. You can also go to dagger.agency. Follow us on Instagram at Dagger Agency for some of our just great content and creative content. And then, yeah, between those three and a smoke signal, I think you should be able
to
find us.
Just go on the Beltline, start yelling for exactly. Dagger, and then someone will point you in their direction, right?
Exactly.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Kate Galley. Thank you so much, Mike, from Dagger Agency, for sharing your story today. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.